Welcome to the OKC First podcast.
Together, we're learning to do three things.
Friendship with God.
Friendship with one another.
And open friendship for the sake of the world.
For more information about OKC First,
please visit OKCFirst.com.
Today's scripture comes from Psalm 148, verses 1 through 5. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his host. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Dr. Rieger and Tamara. Welcome to Christmas Sunday, the first of two. I want to remind us that Christmas is more than a day. We say this around Easter season, too. Easter is also more than a day. It's a season. And Christmas this year is a season long enough that we get two Sundays worth of Christmas, so this week and next week, and then the season of Epiphany starts after January the 6th, actually starts on January the 6th, and we will have a new sermon series for the entirety of the Epiphany season that has to do with Christian curiosity. I'm looking forward to that, but today we are in Christmas season, and I would say to you that I don't think we think enough of the birth of this child. I mean, another passage that I had available to me today was from Luke chapter 2. And in Luke chapter 2, this baby Jesus, is carried into the temple. And Simeon recognizes that there is something about this child that's going to change, well, everything. And Anna, later on in the same passage, recognizes that there is something about this child that will change everything. Everything. And reading that passage this week, I had to ask myself this question. Here I am, pastor in this great church. What was my response on Christmas Eve when the Christ child was brought in and put in the manger scene and when the Christ candle was carried in already lit? It's one of my favorite traditions, our Christmas Eve service. It is one of my favorite traditions, and I hope that we're doing it 500 years from now. I'll probably still be the pastor. But 500 years from now, I hope we still do it. I do hope, though, that we can add to our good Christmas tradition something more at the moment that the Christ candle is brought in. I'm not sure what. I know in some traditions, when the gospel is brought in, everybody stands up because it is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. But this is the word, capital W, that we celebrate on a regular basis, and it just seems like, the more I thought about it this week, it just seems like we should do more. Maybe stand, I don't know what else, but we should do something, and if you want to help me think about that, how can we better recognize what has happened, what has changed when the baby enters into the manger scene and when the Christ candle is brought in, already having been lighted? Because at least in standing up and somehow acknowledging it, we're acknowledging that this is something more than the other pieces that are brought into the manger scene. We're acknowledging that this candle is something more even than the other beautiful candles that are around the wreath. And by the way, they're gone now, because this is the one that matters now. The Christ candle is the one that matters now. But again, I want to ask myself this question. I want to ask you this question. What changes when we crown again every year our present king? What changes? Do we fully appreciate, and the answer is going to be no. How can you fully appreciate? How can you fully appreciate that the king who had a hand in creating the world has now come to run the world? I mean, how can you fully wrap your mind around it, your heart around it? We'll just do the best we can, but at least, church, let's do the best we can. We handed out lights. I found one when I came in earlier this morning. It was on the side of a pew. and it was still burning, as it were. If you are watching from home, typically on a Christmas Eve service here at OKC First, we are handing out real life candles and real life fire. I mean, the more I think about it, it's incredible. We're handing out fire, and we are spreading this light that all starts from this Christ candle, right? But that's the key. It all starts from this Christ candle. We hand out, and this year, as you know, the pandemic being what it is, we couldn't quite do that, and so everybody got one of these little tea lights, mechanized tea lights. But I'll say it again, it means the same thing. Light, light. We receive it like a gift, and then we extend it in our very selves. Let me say it like this. That the King has come into the world, that this light has come into the world, should be such a big deal that it shapes your every movement. It shapes your every thought. It should shape your every conversation. It should shape everything that there is. It should shape everything. Especially for those of us who want to be understood as followers of this Jesus and members of the body of Christ. The least we can do is to find this little light and put it somewhere so that it can be, again, a tangible reminder that this light received as a gift is extended in and through my life, my body. It's worthy of my utmost acknowledgement. It is so big that you have lyrics like this. Wait a minute, before we get to that, you need to see this. Did anybody see this on Monday night, the 21st? Did some of you get out and take a look at it? The Great Conjunction, when Saturn and Jupiter come close enough that you could kind of spot them. Now, we saw it with the naked eye, just sort of off into the distance, but man, can you believe it? It's almost as if even the heavens were celebrating the gift of this one. And that's what our hymns say too, actually. I mean, you just sang it, but did you catch what you were singing? Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive its king. Let every heart prepare in room. And heaven and nature sing. Heaven and nature sing. The entirety of creation, even the cosmos, even space, according to our theology seen in our hymns, celebrates the fact that this one has come. And this is the next verse. The Savior reigns, let all their songs employ. And listen to this. This is all, listen to all the creation language here. While fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. Later on, I'll talk about all of this light comes and it reaches far as the curse is found. You get the sense if you listen to our hymns, but also if you listen to our scriptures, that it's not just the soul that God is after inside of a person. And it's not even just a person that God is after. It is all of creation that is bought back, restored, recovered with the coming of Christ. Look here in Psalm 148. You've heard it a couple times now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon and Jupiter and Saturn. I added that part. Praise him, all you shining stars. Again, you get the sense if you listen to our hymns, but also when you listen to our scriptures, that all of creation recognizes the coming of its king to run and to rule. And these different heavenly bodies praise by doing what they were created to do. This is a very important point. All of these entities, these heavenly bodies, and what we're going to see here later in the firmament, creation, as we can kind of reach out and see and touch it, it all sings praise to this king. And it all sings praise, and it lives out its praise by doing what it was created to do. As the heavens work, let's say. As the heavens work, they too are singing praise. Verse 4, praise him, You highest heavens and you waters above the heavens, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He established them forever and ever. He fixed their bounds which cannot be passed. Verse 7, praise the Lord from the earth now. You sea monsters and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy wind, fulfilling his command. In other words, and this was the imagination of the ancient songwriter here, he was, she was, they were trying to imagine the most powerful entities that they could. And the most powerful, even the scariest entities that they could imagine, that would be sea monsters. Sea monsters. Whatever lurks beneath the surface. Even what lurks beneath the surface of these chaotic, raging seas answers to the Creator. Even what we see happening from the skies, fire and hail, snow and frost, the stormy wind, even they behave according to the pleasure and to the design of the Creator. Verse 9, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and peoples, princes and rulers of the earth, young men and women alike, old and young together, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted, his glory is above earth and heaven. Do you, do I, acknowledge the kingship of this Jesus as much as creation does, as much as the heavens do, as much as nature does? Again, it is the belief of the hymn writer, it is the belief of the writer of this psalm, this text, this scripture, that all of these things, the heavens and the earth, they all sing their praises by doing what they were created to do. By doing what they were created to do. The heavens move and rotate. The earth moves and rotates in season. And in so doing, heavens and the earth sing praises to their Creator and King. Are you and I doing what we were made to do? Are you and I, in a similar sort of vein, living out our praise, living out our understanding, our acknowledgement of the kingship of the Christ? Psalm 148. I said this earlier to Kelly. We were talking about this, and because this is what we talk about when we drive along. We talk about my sermons and how fascinated she is with all of them. But I have been fascinated with the interconnectedness of the book of Psalms. I have been fascinated by the ties between chapters and songs and the ties between the thinking here and there. I will remind us that the book of Psalms is actually made up of five different books. There are five different books. You probably don't see it unless you have a really good study Bible. Psalm 148 is in a group of the last five Psalms called the Hallelujah Psalms. Praise the Lord, sort of translated, is the translation of Hallelujah there. The last five psalms sing to the top of their lungs, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We think that these psalms are, historically context speaking, we think that these psalms are taking place, are written, and then sung as people are moving back home after the exile to Babylon. They have had some success in rebuilding the temple and reconstituting something. They feel like things are trending in the right direction, and so these psalms sort of just erupt. But Psalm 48 actually is remembering one that I preached to you about last week, Psalm 89. If you'll remember, Psalm 89 is pretty dark and pretty bleak. It's the last psalm of Book 3. And here's what has happened. The Babylonian conquest has reached its height, or perhaps its darkest moment. And they have wiped out the temple. They've wiped out Jerusalem. Perhaps worse of all, they have wiped out what was understood to be the commitment of God to the people of God. They killed the king. And the psalmist asked right out loud, Lord, where is your steadfast love of old, which by your faithfulness you swore to David? Eons ago, you swore to David that there would always be Davidic leadership for everything. You swore that there would be, but now our king is dead. What happened to your promises? What happened to your steadfast love of old? What happened to your faithfulness? And it kind of just leaves it there. It's kind of dark. Psalm 148 is written to be a response to Psalm 89. I said this to you last week as well. Things aren't over just because we feel like things are over. Things are only over when God says they're over and God says it's not over. And God said to them in Psalm 89, listen, it may feel like it's over to you, but it is not over because God says in Psalm 148, he has raised up a horn, a place for his people. Praise for all of his faithful, for the people of Israel who are close to him. Praise the Lord. In other words, and this is kind of foreshadowing something we're going to see in the New Testament, the singer is saying, okay, we put all of our eggs in this one basket, our monarch. We put all of our eggs in that one basket saying God will work really only in and through this king. Come to find out, God can work beyond this one king. And instead of one king who is the tangible evidence of the promises of God, what we're saying here in Psalm 148, now there is an entire people that God has put into place. And they will be the tangible evidence that God is still faithful, that God is still moving, that God and God's character and purposes are still moving forward. As long as they are still moving forward, because I want to ask us again, are you, am I, are we as a people doing what we were created to do? Are we living out Christ's kingship? Are we living in response? Are we living in acknowledgement of Christ's kingship over all of creation, including where you work, including your relationship with the one that you like the least, including all of the conversations and all of the decisions that have to be made by good people, by good believing Christian people? Are you in acknowledgement? As you make all these decisions and walk in these particular circles, are you an acknowledgement that Christ is king, that Christ has come, and that Christ is king? Are you doing at least what the heavens and the earth are doing, fulfilling your created purpose in acknowledgement of the kingship of Christ? I'm going to say it one more time before we move ahead. Are you, am I, are we, as the people of God, the body, fulfilling our created purposes? Are we acknowledging with our every movement and every breath the kingship represented in the candle? Terence Frettheim, another one of my favorite scholars, says this: just as the various other creatures show forth the praise of God by being what they are as God's creatures, so Israel, but maybe we can read here, OKC first, having been made what it now is by God, shows forth God's praise by being who they are, the redeemed people of God. God's people in every age are called upon to continue showing forth the praise of God because of what they have been made by God. In this way, they will join with that vast chorus of God's non-human creatures in honor of God and then in witness to God. I love this. Human beings are called to exercise their God-given dominion or sovereignty in the same way that God exercises power as a servant. To so fulfill our vocation is to praise God by, in effect, imitating God. The heavens do what they're created to do. The earth, all of nature, does what it's created to do. You and I will do what we're created to do when we take the very posture of God to lead, to take responsibility for all of creation, all of life, but to do so in ways that are representative of our King and our God by loving and serving. So what does this look like in 2020, pray tell. I noticed something I bet you did too. To me, Halloween seemed really especially eerie this year. Because you didn't have to look far for images of death. Amen? But what I noticed, and in our neighborhood, sometimes it was neighbors. As soon as Halloween was over, guess what? Christmas decorations went up. And yes, I hear it just like you do too, the people who will complain out loud, come on, it's October. Come on, it's November. Can we at least have Thanksgiving first before we get all the way into the hustle and bustle of the holidays? And I got to tell you, this year, I didn't mind it so much. This year, on the heels of Halloween, which in so many ways is representative of death, I was grateful that people were starting to put up the trees. We put ours up early this year. I was grateful that people were starting to put up their Christmas decorations earlier and earlier and earlier. You know why? Because there was a holy defiance in it. No. Sure, 2020 has been deathly in so many ways, but we are going to push for hope. We are going to celebrate Christmas. We are not going to let Halloween dominate 2020. So if we have to start early and have 2 months worth of lights, we're going to do it because we are going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate today. And I was seeing this and sensing this. Then I saw an article by Reverend Will Gaffney actually this week, who actually summed it up beautifully. And I'm going to read a chunk of it to you, and then you can see some of it. You want me to switch? Okay. I'm going to switch. So Reverend Gaffney says this, professor at Bright Divinity School. She says, Christmas has always been about finding hope amid awfulness. Why should this year be any different? She said, this year I watched, just like she was in my neighborhood, I watched individuals and communities begin their Advent and Christmas observations and decorations earlier than ever. And while some religious Grinches argue for absolute conformity to the Christian calendar, I have been this person, no celebrations more than 4 Sundays before Christmas Day, more of us welcome and embrace people's absolute determination to find joy at this very difficult time, let alone their decisions to, where necessary, create joy when there is none to be found. I don't know if you noticed, but our Advent and Christmas sermon series was called Comfort and Joy, and we determined early on that we were not going to be the people who were pushing the celebration back. We actually, even to the choosing of certain songs, told Tamara, yeah, let's go ahead and start celebrating earlier, sooner this year. Again, I like it because it felt like a holy defiance. We are not going to let the pandemic tell us how to celebrate or when to celebrate. We are not going to let the pandemic dictate the terms of life. She goes on to say this, and there will be joy this year. It has already begun to seep into the world. There was a defiant joy in the Perry Halloween Christmas lights of my neighbor, she says. There is a determination in every Zoom present opening invite. Every tiny apartment Christmas tree where none ever stood before. In every batch of not quite perfect cookies by a pandemic chef to recreate the joy of the season, whether we can gather or not. Her last line, the lights of Christmas shine brightly and defiantly this year, bolstered by the lights of Hanukkah, which have their own story of defiance and resistance. And I wish you a merry, defiant Christmas, she says. Hope that you had a happy Hanukkah and pray that we would all have a new year filled with hope. So what does it look like when the people of God take their places alongside the planets and nature? When we step up just like the planets and nature, what does it look like when we step up and we acknowledge the kingship of the light that has come into the world? What does it look like when we offer up our voices of praise along their non-human voices of praise? I think it looks like this. We are the people who, in defiant sorts of ways, say, nope, our King has come into the world. There will always be a reason to both celebrate and hope. There will always be a reason to celebrate and hope. That's what it looks like. When do you take your lights down? Now, that's a raging debate. I don't know, maybe you leave them up a little longer this year. Again, in defiance. Oh, I know, the world's ready to move on. I'm like, we're going to start seeing ads for Valentine's Day here pretty soon, right? I understand. But maybe the people of God, in serving our communities and our families and our cities and our states, maybe what we can do is we can be the defiant people of hope who insist on celebrating light in the midst of darkness, who insist on celebrating one king in the midst of a continuing tournament of power. Maybe we can be Christmas folks who stand every time the light comes into the room, and the light, by the way, folks, is always arriving. Maybe we can be the people who can push back against the darkness. Maybe in just our small, unique, individual ways. But it doesn't take much light to pierce darkness. If you haven't already done so, and Kristen, if you can help us, and maybe somebody on this side too can help us, if you haven't already done so, you need some communion elements. Larry's going to help us back there if you don't have some in the room. And by the way, if you're watching us at home, this is a good time to go get your bread and your cup. Because the prayer of blessing I'm about to pray, I'm pretty sure it's going to reach all the way to where you live. Pretty sure. And whenever you decide to take communion, it will reach all the way to that place. In that time as well. Joy to the world is still ringing in my ears as we come to the table, especially the part that goes like this, and wonders of his love. Wonders and wonders of his love. I know. It takes energy to be defiant. It takes energy to push back on the darkness. It feels like the darkness got a big head start on us, didn't it? It takes energy to do all of this. But this is why we gather at this table on a weekly basis, because this is where we find the resources necessary to continue to challenge the darkness, to continue stubbornly to challenge the darkness and to be people of hope and light. Wonders of his love. That'll be all we'll need. So Heavenly Father, bless these elements now. Yes, it's just simple cup and bread. But God, in your hands, when you bless them, you make them into something more. It can then become for us the energy that we need to continue to fight the good fight, to faithfully resist the darkness, to be defiant and even rebellious as it has to do with our capacity to hope, to be people of hope, to act in hope, to speak in hope, to choose and decide in hope. Resource us now, Lord, with your body and your blood. It was on the night he was betrayed that our Savior took bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples saying, "This is my body broken for you. And every time you eat of it, remember me." There are resources here for the strength to faithfully resist. And so I want to invite you now to take and break and eat. Later, he would take the cup and hold it up before them and say, "And this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, now shed for you. And every time you drink of it, remember me. You hold in your hands right now, people, the wonders of his love. Take and drink. And now as Mark plays, O Come All Ye Faithful, I hope the lyrics of this song can start to become a prayer. Include yourself in the us now. Let us adore him. And pray your own prayer of praise right now. In your own words, would you pray, God, you are God and I am not. I give you praise, and not just with my mouth, but with my entire life. Join with all of creation in gladly fulfilling the dream and rule that God has for you. Before Jason prays, I want to read the lines I always read for you, typically on the end of a confessional prayer, but hear it now toward the end of a prayer of praise. May the Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us all our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Spirit, keep us in eternal life.